Welcome, everybody. City meeting agenda of Monday, June 5th, 2023. We're going to call this meeting to order. While the pledge is not on the agenda, I'm going to go ahead and ask if you all stand for the pledge, and I'm going to have Dana please lead us in the pledge.
Certainly, thank you. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Well, now to the roll call.
I'll be to Anthony Edmund. City of Life.
Here.
Here.
City of
Pichelle. Here.
City
of Desert Hot Springs.
Present.
City of Indian Wells.
Here.
City of Indian.
Here.
City of Quinta.
Here.
City of Palm Desert.
Here.
City of Palm Springs.
Present.
City of Ranch Mirage.
Here.
County of Riverside.
Here.
Torres Martinez Desert Huya Indian. Chair of the forum.
Thank you. We'll move on now to public comments on agenda items. You take this at the time and place. Remember to address the transportation committee on agenda items. At the discretion of chair, comments may be taken at the time items are presented. Leave them your comments and comments. Is there anyone that would like to address this? Seeing none, okay.
Well, we have anybody online, just a reminder, we are online as well. Great. We'll
move on now to item number four. This is the chair executive director's announcement. Executive director and announcement.
Yeah, I do. Our general assembly is coming up. It's on June 26th at the Tenian Parlor in Chimborage. Tickets are on sale. We look forward to having all of the elected officials of our member agencies attend. It is our 50th anniversary, which we'll be celebrating. And the other item here is just an administrative one. You do receive essentially per diems for meeting attendance. For those who want those provided direct deposit, we need you to submit a form to one of our staff members so you get those direct deposit, unless you like going to the bank. That's it.
All right, with that, we'll move on to item number five, the consent calendar. What are the wishes of the committee?
Move adoption.
Second.
There's a motion. There's a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any abstentions? Any noes? Hearing none, motion carries. We'll move on now to discussion action items. This is an update from Caltrans District 8 Director, Dr. Lino Pin.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. It's nice to be here. First time coming out for a while. The last time I was here actually was the BNP car. So anyway, I do have a couple of representatives here with me from Caltrans. I have Emily Baena and then also Andrea Harmon. They are in charge, Emily's in charge of our PIO and also Veg Affair, and Andrea's our Veg Affair representative. So just kind of want to introduce both of them. As far as project updates on the state highway system on I-10, we do have the I-10 rehab from Desert Center going east for 30 miles, and this project will finish summer of 2024. Another rehab project and also a truck climbing lane from Dillon Road to east of Cactus City as the state route rest area. Started a few months ago and will finish summer of 2026. Another project on I-10 also is a rehab project from Blythe to the Arizona state line. It's pending award. We'll start fall of 2023 and finish summer 2026. So, and also as far as based on these projects, closures, major, if there's any delays to the project, we do have a website that provides all the information on these projects. And we'd like to share that with the council. And so if there's any information that do come up as far as, questions, concerns about the project, we do have that information readily available. So another project that we do have on 111 is an ADA project. This project will be completed in about an hour or so. Questions?
Any questions?
Question, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Just very quickly, these projects, when you're working on them, is it during the day, is it at night? I'm just wondering about traffic congestion.
Yeah, when we do put together the lane closure, we want to make sure most of the projects that we do, especially rehab projects, is at night. The one that we have right now ongoing, I believe there's a detour that's on the median. So, but most of the time when we do have a rehab project, most of the work is done at night. And then also that's helpful with traffic, as you mentioned, also with the temperature. We got to have certain temperature when we do pavement rehab. If it's too hot, we can't pay. If it's too cold, it's also we can't pay.
Yeah, I noticed on the Santa Freeway going towards Blythe and coming from Blythe, I noticed that you do have a separate lane, which makes traffic move along quite efficiently. It's just sometimes, you know, when you do have projects during the day, it just doesn't matter what day it is, whether it's a Saturday or a Friday or a Monday or Tuesday, doesn't matter because you got so many people just, especially the trucks, just stacking upon each other, and it just takes a while to get from one location to another. So the more that gets that we could work at night, I think the better.
Correct.
Thank you.
I have a question regarding just funding for future interchange projects here in the Coachella Valley along the 10 and the 86. How do we stay competitive, or how does this area continue to at least try to get a chance to get funding? I know we've had some difficulties on Avenue 86 and 50. We have a number of different interchange projects, and at the same time, continuity in terms of the leadership at Caltrans has changed a lot. You know, so how do we continue to advocate for our projects and then also try to get funding to grow out this region?
So, as far as, you know, interchange projects, basically we need to work together with RCGC, you know, with the county and also within Caltrans. As far as, you know, capacity enhancing, we're limited as far as what that amount of money that we can utilize, because that was a lot path way back when. I believe for the SPIT projects, it's about 25% of the Caltrans has authority. But again, if there's some safety issues with the department, safety is number one priority. So if there's any intermediate improvements that we can do as far as addressing, you mentioned 50, Avenue 50, those are things that we'll look at. If there's any safety improvements that we can do, for example, signing or additional, you know, warning signs, things like that, we do look at it. But as far as interchange, that, I mean, we could partner together and, you know, promoting those projects.
Joey, did you want to say something, or are you okay?
You asked me if I want to say something? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, yes, I think Caltrans is doing a great job out there. I've done learned you get started a little earlier, and then you miss a lot of stuff. So if you wait later in the day to hit out there when they put cones up and different things, they do cause some issues, but they got to do what they got to do to get things done. So they're doing, moving a lot of stuff out there. So it's, I think it's great. It's happening. So, and looks like everything's gone as smooth as it could probably go. Thank you.
There's no other comments or questions? Yeah, I do want to add to that. And Dan, you brought this up some time ago about artwork, about aesthetics. And I think that's something that we didn't really think about and work on. And as you mentioned, with partners and looking at funding, but we gotta do a better job, because some of these overpasses are, you know, are terrible. You got a graffiti, or we got brush, or it's just, it doesn't look like an area you want to stop into, as opposed to like you're driving to New Vegas or those areas, very, very beautiful. So I just want to put that in the air, because I think it's something that we, and you brought it up, Jen, others have brought it up as well, and it's something that we should be working on for the Coachella Valley. So just want to put that up.
Okay. And just to respond regarding your graffiti and also some work as far as the landscaping, if there are some areas that need work. We do have the customer service request. We'd like to share that information also, where you could provide, you know, location for where you're having challenges as far as, you know, encampments, issues, landscaping issues, and also graffiti. And we do address them right away with our maintenance department. We let them know. And again, having that communication is key, letting us know where the challenge areas are, and we'd be more than happy to address those.
And on that note, I'm wondering if, is there an app that we can use to log in that there's an issue that needs to be addressed? And we use the reason I say this, we use it in Palm Desert. It's so effective. We just take a picture, they know exactly what it is, where the location is, and then they can come out and address the issue.
As far as the app, I'm going to have to defer to Emily on that, but I know we have a link. Do we have an app?
So, sorry, just kind of reach out here. So the customer service request system.
Wait, you could.
Oh, the microphone? Sure. Okay.
I'm
going
to speak for short.
Okay. Can everyone hear me okay? All right. So the customer service request system is an online application. It's not an app specifically, but the website itself is csr.dot.ca.gov. So csr.dot.ca.gov. That's the website that you can actually go to, and you can use your mobile device as well. You would just open up a web browser instead. You can submit everything from your phone or your computer. It can do graffiti, weed abatement, potholes, you know, things that would help, you know, beautify the area and the location. So you can submit everything to us. It goes directly to our customer service request system. It goes to our CSL liaison, and then from there we work with maintenance to get those issues scheduled out to be repaired, fixed, cleaned, whatever it was that the request was.
Okay, thank you. And I think if I may be so bold, if the time comes that we can have an app, I think that makes it so much easier for people. The other thing, and we talk about landscaping, I think it's time for us to look at more of those hard surfaces. And you mentioned Las Vegas, and they just, it keeps it clean, and then we're not going back to address landscaping all the time when we are using rocks and that sort of thing. So
just, well, and for certain landscaping, you know, we'll go and take care of a lot of weed abatement and whatnot, but for a complete overhaul for landscaping, we're probably best to involve our local assistance program as well to assist in those endeavors of getting a construction project related to landscaping completed.
So when, as we go forward and we have new developments, I think considering hard services might be an efficient way to go. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Good evening.
You know, I just have a question. I live up at the north end of Indio and Terra Lago area, Four Seasons. There's just a whole lot of folks that come down and jump onto that Gulf Center Parkway on ramp. There's a blind spot, and I'm hearing it over and over and over again because trucks are flying up, and until you're halfway down that ramp or three quarters of the way, you don't realize that that truck is flying down, as people do on freeways. We all do, right? Except that you end up, a lot of people end up on the side, on the shoulder. So it becomes a safety issue that I am hearing a lot of concern over. What might be the mechanism to consider looking at that and find a way to reduce some of the blind spot on the Gulf Center Parkway going west?
So we could have our traffic ops division take a look at it, provide the information as far as the location and the concerns, and we will have our traffic operation division take a look at it as far as measures that we could implement to help address that issue.
Okay, I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Sure.
And quick, can you send us that link that you talked about for the service? That would be great.
Yes, I can send that to Jonathan and he can share it with you.
Perfect, thank you.
Well, we appreciate you being here, and obviously we're a very involved region, and we want to see the best for us, and we look forward to working with you, and congratulations on you.
Yeah, thank you very much. And again, key is having that communication. It's really important for us to know what are the issues in the area so we could address it better.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, do we know the 18 members, Ms. Chair, that beautification program that the governor came up with some time ago? Did we ever apply for any of that?
I think Clean California.
Yeah.
And I believe there was the grant I think phase two, but I could be wrong, just reasonably open, but we could provide some information on that.
I think we need to be aggressive, and you said communication, we're communicating it right now. Every single overpass in Chow Valley needs to be beautified. Mm-hmm. And so, and if you just put together a list, we'll do that for you as well, but it's seen every single one of them. And all the way down the line.
Supervisor Wright, this update on Cycle One. The Valley did submit three different applications that were funded, one in Indio, Cathedral City, and Coachella, in California, and Cycle Two, the CBAG, and the county partnered with Project Down Firm to do it. It was targeted for more disadvantaged areas, is where that focus was.
And that second phase was on non-state facilities, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's kind of a curious thing that Clean California grant last time, we couldn't apply for I-10 projects. Is that right?
Well, they weren't construction ready, so we would have already had the encroachment permits and so forth, so we tried to come up with a new project.
I'm sure the district director is it's not unusual for people to come up with very specific concerns related to Caltrans facilities. We appreciate them coming out. We're going to spend the next few hours with them talking about specific issues in the Coachella Valley. We know issues have been raised about maintenance. We've actually gone out there and provided information to the district about some specific concerns on graffiti. And perhaps there's an opportunity to look at more permanent solutions that have been discussed for a long time on interchanges. And we know, particularly in the western part of Coachella Valley, dealing with sand and wind is a real challenge, and it really does have to be a hardscape solution to make that work there. So appreciate him coming out. We look forward to continued cooperation between CVAG and Caltrans on these sorts of issues.
All right, with that, we'll move on to item B. This is the completion of the CD sink phase one. Good morning.
The chair and the committee members. in a celebratory mode today, as we talk about the completion of phase one of CV Sync. This is a project that I've been working on since the day I started at CBAG. We've been planning, we've been designing, and we've been constructing, and now we are completed with phase one.
Upgrades to traffic signals around the valley are aimed at reducing congestion on local streets. News Channel 3's Jake Ingrassia tonight has more on this project to synchronize traffic lights that officials say is already helping.
This is a project that's been in the works now for years. Right now, we are inside the CV Sync Traffic Management Center, where a lot of the different traffic lights across the valley are being monitored from to make your commute across the Coachella Valley easier.
Block by block on major thoroughfares across the Coachella Valley, traffic flow is being controlled.
This is intended really to allow people to move from point A to point B more effectively.
The project is called CV Sync. It's the effort by the Coachella Valley Association of Governments to synchronize traffic lights valley-wide, reducing traffic and emissions while cutting minutes out of commutes. Headquartered in Palm Desert, this regional control center allows operators to monitor conditions and make adjustments to signals and traffic flow.
If we're looking at this particular intersection in Indian Wells, we can actually see what the signals are doing out there in real time.
Most of the time, the system works on its own, but it's especially useful to take control during special events or severe weather when traffic congestion can choke valley streets.
When the tennis tournament ends, and we'll be watching it, and we have 10,000 people leaving at the same time, that they're able to coordinate the signals.
So far, signals are coordinated along Ramon Road, Highway 111, and Washington Street. But over the next 2 years, 19 more corridors will be connected in the $100 million phase two.
The Fred Warings, the Vista Chinos, the Monroes.
With a growing valley and more traffic than ever, control over the chaos coming at a crucial time, with more green lights still ahead. Jake Ingrassia, News Channel 3, Palm Desert.
So again, very exciting. You can saw Chris in that video, our operations chief here. we made no small plans. I've shown that slide a lot, so I didn't want to show it again, but we have, I believe, made the magic disturbance, but this project is complex, it's grandiose, and it's magnificent, it's beautiful. All these things I've been told not. As I get around the country even talking about this project, I've heard this back from people that admire what we're doing and appreciate what we're doing. We made those small plans. But in past tense, we standardized, we modernized, and we synchronized. We did it regionally. Again, this is a beautiful thing. If you think about the region, and for many of us, and many of you that have been through much longer than I have, we're behaving now like a solid region, not like a bunch of disparate silos of traffic signals. And it's all in past tense. We've done this now. We have prepared for the future. Again, with the completion of phase one, we have prepared for the future. We are ready for connected vehicles, which are coming. The 2024 models, if you're buying a 2024 car, vehicle, it will be equipped with what we call an onboard unit that will be able to talk to our system here. That is the future. The future is here, and we're prepared for it. We have reduced greenhouse gas emissions. No small thing. That was one of the things that drove this project, was to improve our greenhouse gas emissions, and we are doing that. Again, and we're doing it, and we did it past times, we've done it. And we've done it on, again, those three corridors that Tom mentioned, Highway 111, Lone, Washington. Those are our top ranked corridors. But just as importantly, we've done it in every one of your participating jurisdictions. We have a traffic operations center. So you saw Tom talking in front of our regional traffic management center. Every one of your jurisdictions, not including the county, not including Caltrans, every one of these jurisdictions, every one of you has a traffic operations center in your own facilities, at your city halls, at your traffic management center for Caltrans and the county. You all have connections to our regional traffic management center. And Chris has been working, Chris Gunderson has been working daily, every day, with your staffs to train them and make sure they are able to utilize this wonderful tool. So again, it's a big celebration, really, that we finished phase one, we completed it. We actually, the construction was done officially at the end of April. Synchronization has been completed, and now we're just in the final stages of continuing. So phase two, which is the same contractor, so it's a seamless transition. It's already started. It's at 821 work orders. It was 18, but we had three more at the last executive committee meeting with 21 more orders. If you can think about that, it's the entire region. There are some more corridors still to go beyond that, but when we do 24 corridors, that covers our region pretty well. We will be still fine-tuning. That was part of the plan, part of the process. The initial synchronization, but synchronization takes fine-tuning, and it will continue to take fine-tuning into the future. We have seasonal timing. This is our first summer season under the full synchronization. We are now changing our timing for the summer. It's the first time we've done that. Next year will be that much easier. Put the keys and go to setting number 67 or whatever it is, and it will automatically change for the summer. But we're fine-tuning. We're doing that as we speak right now. There are a number of items that are carried forward from phase one. As was in the staff report, we had a lot of, because of the economy in this country and the world for that sake, there were supply chain issues. We have items like our Genetec locks that will lock our communication hubs. They are still not available. They've been back ordered for the entirety of this project, the phase one construction project. They anticipate we'll be able to get them in the fall. So those locks and other pieces that are connected to them are still not available. In a number of your cities, we have changeable message signs that As we ran into utilities, they have required an additional few feet of right-of-way. Our project is required now that right-of-way. Your cities have in a couple of cases, and because of that, those changeable message signs had to be moved to the next phase. And as with the changeable message sign, there's a lot of other infrastructure tied to it. So a lot of those items have slid into the second phase, but that's okay. Phase two is underway. The public will just see it happening as one project. But we are carrying forward a number of items. We will be making that final change order that will adjust those items to the second phase. And then we will be tying up all the loose ends, measuring all the final quantities, making final payment. That gets triggered to our contractor. That gets triggered by the notice of completion. And the notice of completion is the formal document that says the project is over. And we've got about 60 days after that to make that final payment. It dovetails nicely, we hope, with our fiscal year. And we can tie up all the end loose ends, make final payment to our contractor, and formally turn the page and start billing all of our grantors for this project. That said, I'm very excited to bring in questions, but the recommendation is to authorize the executive director to take the necessary steps to complete that notice of completion and file it with the town.
Any questions?
Sure.
Thank you so much, and thank you for the work you've done. I've noticed it in many places that we cited. And I'm proposing that the easier flow is because of the project. Thank you for also going over the items that are going to be carried forward in the change order process. So just to clarify, since this is a notice of completion of the project, you're not going to call the project complete and then do the change order. You anticipate doing the change order and then actually finding the notice of completion on what would be the revised project.
Correct. We consider the project complete. And so right now, when it's a project of this scale and this complexity, there are 101 details, or probably 530, that have to be coordinated between our construction manager and the contractor. And we'll put together the final change order that not only measures each of the things that they actually completed and compensates them for that, but takes account the few things that we're going to push into phase two. And so even though the project is complete, we still have to execute the final change order. And we anticipate that change order will be within the executive director's signing authority. We think phase one will underrun into phase two, and we'll be able to absorb that into phase two without a significant increase in the cost of phase two.
Okay, I'm just trying to understand, because normally when we see a project where we're doing the notice of completion, it's complete because we're releasing the funds, and it wasn't totally clear here. It's clear that some items are going to be moved into the next phase, which I certainly don't have any problem with. That makes sense. I'm just trying to wrap my head around, we're going to do a notice of completion, but we know it's not complete.
Well,
some items over.
Yeah, we are going to cause it to become complete, and that will allow us, for example, to bill some of our, we have a $300,000 grant from NSRC. With our project complete, we will be able to build that full data. Because we have a phase two that's already under contract and already under construction, we're going to move some of those items that aren't yet available into phase two. And so they will be done in phase one, and they will be now new in phase two, but we will force the contractor to do them immediately, or as soon as possible, as soon as the components become available. I understand the confusion, but it is more of a force function. We want to be able to say phase one is done so that we can bill it, we can pay it, and move to phase two and take care of those items that require right away, those items that aren't available. We didn't want to string the project out for another 4 or 5 months and force the contractor to keep the bond. That could force us to not collect on some of our grant monies. Well, we had a phase two that we could put those in.
Okay. All right, as long as you and the executive director feel like that process will flow well and there won't be any legal issues, I think that that's fine. So thank you for answering that. I do have another different question, and it's just as you do your fine tuning, you probably, I know I hear occasionally people in the public with feedback as to how some of the intersections are going. So are we going to talk about an app earlier? Are we setting up some, that's used for other purposes? Are we going to set up something as a website or an app? So when people say, hey, I think this intersection is out of sync because every time I come, you know, that it seems like it's turning red when it really shouldn't.
Where's the sign that way? I mean, you know.
Are we going to have some way for the public or even the cities then to come and say, hey, could we just look again at this intersection or this flow and see if there's anything that can be adjusted?
Sure, the answer is yes. There's a nuance. The cities, all of your cities, really wanted to keep some control of your signals with your city. And so kind of the first level is through your cities. That's where the publics of a city, the citizens will contact the city. The city will explain. There may be nuances, things that aren't done on phase one. In fact, phase one is before this. The city definitely has contact with us on a daily basis. In fact, Chris's phone is probably buzzing while we're in this meeting and working on problems, issues that come up, and they will keep coming up in perpetuity, working with city staffs to resolve them. But at the same time, we do have a website which will become more active. We'll be working with groups like in Palm Springs, like Main Street. I'm speaking with them tomorrow. Just to keep everyone informed, make my number, my email, my phone, Chris's email, his phone number available. But the first contact is typically with the jurisdiction where the signals are, because a lot of the issues are local issues. But certainly the synchronization, we have open access to us.
Well, that's one way to do it. I would suggest, though, as we mature into this, that we have one place people go and they say, hey, this is what I've observed. And then you could split it off. And it may
sure,
be
yeah.
that the answer internally is, well, that's what the city preferred, or, you know, we got messed up because of pen crossings or emergencies or whatever. But having, you know, a lot of different contacts, your email, which does not need to be jammed with the public reporting these little things, you know, that may be okay at the beginning here while you're doing some adjustment, but I would suggest that it mature into something that is just more of a one-stop shop.
If I might, let's put something on the agenda within 6 months, come back and give this committee an update on our discussions with city staff and their interest and willingness to have a one-stop shop, whether it's an app, 1-800 number, or website, or all of the above. I like the idea, and I know our team, you know, wants to get this operational before we start taking a lot of comments from the public, but we're getting to that stage. And so within 6 months, we will agendize something.
Good.
Yeah,
that's great.
Paul Green? Yeah, thank you.
Just to pick up on the current conversation, I think we should take a look at how we operationalize a program with each city, just in that there could be some real savings to the ability to have one management and city supplementing that as we decide we want to have greater control. But my questions are on phase two. One, could we get a copy of the map of all of the streets that and corridors that are part of phase two? Secondly, when do you plan to begin phase two? How long will that take? And when will the public begin to see some benefit from phase two? Thank you.
So kind of the initial comments tied to operations and maintenance, your comments are prescient because we actually have a half-day workshop tomorrow with your city staffs starting to formulate that very thing, how we will put together that operations and maintenance protocols and procedures. With respect to phase two, the project is underway. Notice proceed was back in February. They have been acquiring materials, they have been doing modeling, that's where they look and see where the utilities are.
that it could potentially be in the way. This summer, they'll be hitting it pretty hard in certain parts of the valley. Their approach, they're being cross-town for contractor. Their approach is going to be to work city at a time, just to keep it focused and get it wrapped up and try to get it done a city at a time, which should make life easier for all of us. It'll cause pain for the time that you're in your city, but then it'll be done. The exact schedule of which cities and which flow is still forthcoming from our contractor, but it looks like they're likely going to be starting on the east end, roughly, and moving west, although Palm Springs is going to have also be started early in the process. The actual benefit of synchronization, probably won't see anything this year. The project is with kind of 21 quarters, the project will take until probably this time in 2025. So we're looking at several years. My suspicion is that most of the synchronization, although it may happen at a city by city at a time, you won't see the regional synchronization taking shape probably towards the end of the project. So it'll probably be at least a year before you start seeing benefits from the regional synchronization of the additional work. And I said the pain of the construction in your city should be kind of focus it and have that be brief. And then we move along to the next city so the disruption is minimized and it doesn't linger over a year. But again, the actual benefits you probably won't see phase two. Now, I've driven the corridors, and many of you have too. I've seen a lot of improvements in the next 4 years when you owned it in 11 and Washington. And that will continue to improve as we go ahead.
Very good. Yes, Lisa, they started in Mahinta this morning. So I think the schedule that council was given was probably starting today in about 3 weeks. So that's not too bad. I just want to say I had the opportunity to sit with Chris and go through the transportation center in Mahinta. I would highly recommend to any of you who have not done that to sit down with Chris and go through the regional one. It's very enlightening, and it leads you to be able to answer some of the questions that you get from husbands who can't understand why he has to sit at the light, even though we have synchronization. You can at least explain to him. I think Chris was even so nice as to deal with my husband one day. So I strongly suggest that you take the opportunity to do that. It's really
And even today, thank you. Chris will make himself available today after the meeting if anybody wants to come up.
Tom, I think when I hear an engineer use the words like grandiose, beautiful, and modernized in the same sentence, I think, you know, we have the right person for the job and a good culture, you know, because this is a pretty modern and hip and
public works.
Yeah, public works, so to speak. And I don't want to lose sight of what we're doing for our region. So big congratulations to all of us. Is there a motion to?
I'll move staff recommendation.
There's a second. All those in favor, say
aye.
Aye. Abstentions and noes? Hearing none, motion carries. We'll move on now to item number C. This is reimbursement agreement for the airport board.
Yes, go.
Joey, was that an aye?
Yes, sir. You'll hear me say no if I don't.
John, we expect you to use groovy and hip at this.
Good morning, Honorable Chairman, to the committee. The item before you, the agreement with the reimbursement of the Airport Boulevard Bridge Replacement Project is located in Vernal. The project will replace an existing obsolete bridge that extends over the Coachella Water Stormwater Channel. The new bridge is estimated to cost approximately $24.6 million. When it's widened, it'll include sidewalks and shoulders on either side of the structure, and it will also increase the elevation of the bridge profile about 2 or 3 feet to account for the stormwater flows that go underneath that channel. The county has been working on this for quite some time. They've studied different alternatives, including rehabilitation as well as full replacement. They were successful in getting a full replacement approved by the state, the Highway Bridge Program. And the Highway Bridge Program covers a little over 8.5% of the qualifying expenses or participating expenses in the bridge. So that comes to about $18 million of funding for this bridge. So without the outside funding, CVAC 75% regional share would be approximately $18.5 million. And now it's, with this funding, it's been reduced to $4.95 million. So the CVAC staff is recommending that the reimbursement agreement includes some language, though, to account for the future development of CV Link. Very similar to the Duke Palm Bridge being constructed at La Quinta, CV Link was incorporated into the design, so it could be constructed at the same time with some savings. So we've added that to the language to the reimbursement agreement, and the county has agreed to work with that. And so, therefore, the staff is recommending the approval of the reimbursement agreement for the Forsyth County.
Move approval.
Second, Cathedral City.
Thank you very quickly, everyone. Mark Lancaster can make it, and Khalid Nassim is here on his behalf. And if I understand you correctly, Khalid, that you are the main project person to go to on this, or are you working on this project? Would you like to add anything to this?
No, it's a very good project. We couldn't do it with the railroad grade separation constructed. So we're coming back, and we have the Highway Bridge Program money. So with partnership with CVAC, we can deliver this project. We have plans to start construction next year. So
how long is this project going to go on, you think, or the actual timeline?
Timeline is not more than 2 years.
Good.
Thank you, folks.
There is a motion and second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Joey, here.
Aye.
Any opposition, any abstentions? See none, we'll move on to item number D. This is the reimbursement agreement amendment for improvements on Date Palm Drive.
Thank you, Chair. The city's request for legal consultation funding is for the design and construction of Date Palm Drive between I-10 and Barnum. The project will widen Date Palm between north of I-10 and extend up to Barnum Road. The project also includes an upgraded stormwater crossing at Long Canyon Wash, which is located just south of Barnum Road. The city has an agreement in place for this work, although they tried to put the project on pause some time back when they were updating their general plan screen sections, and they also had some issues with right-of-way. They've resolved those now, and they've also been able to secure almost $2 million in regional Riverside County flood control dollars for the construction of the Long Canyon Wash crossing. So that will reduce the overall cost of construction. So the city's design engineer and their engineer record of working project submitted an estimate for what's required to complete the project, to update the plans, and update the plans for the design of the wash crossing. And so the amendment number one will add 75% share of regional funds in the amount of $516,000 towards the project to complete the design and move forward to construction. Once the design is complete and the project moves to construction, the Riverside County flood control dollars can be used for the construction of that Long Canyon crossing. Therefore, staff recommending approval of this amendment.
Move approval.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Director Roger. All those in favor signify by saying.
Oh, I just want to thank CBank staff for working with Cathedral City staff on this. What I see is the first leg of continuing to improve the access. It really benefits the city that does our house bring the residents, a lot of county residents also. We have still have a lot more work to do on that connection through Barnard Road, but this is a significant step. So thank everyone. And of course, thank you for having flood control because their involvement made this possible.
So you does our house bring?
I just want to reiterate that it's a link from our city into the Cathedral City, Palm Springs, rest of Coachella Valley. And it's also an alternative route to Interstate 10, and Barnard needs to be focused on that. So it's doing many studies to do that. We just want to make sure it's not forgotten about. It's when people use that road, there's stop signs or the stop lights and traffic is backed up. And this will help a portion of that, but the bigger portion to focus on Barnard.
There's a motion, there's a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Joey.
Aye.
Any opposition? Any abstention? None. We'll move on now to item number D. This is the contract member with also planning, Mr. Ford.
Thank you, Eric. I don't have a presentation for this, but construction continues on CV Link. The current focus of them is in the cities of Indio and La Quinta, has been on constructing undercrossings, including the slope protection at Fred Waring, also in Parkway. Work also proceeds on improving the connections at Monroe Street, Jackson Street, Adams Street, Shields Park. Grading is commenced in the city of Coachella, the south of Avenue 50. And as construction moves forward, Alta, our contract, our consultant, and our sub-consultants are helping CVAG prepare for the next stages of the project. The work includes preparation of the documents for the next segments of construction, or realignment that has to take place on Cook Street and Palm Desert to account for a CWD project that is being worked on there. Also, adjustments to Sierra Vista Park and Coachella to account for some adjustments with the interchange design, and also some adjustments on Ski Avenue and Palm Springs. Under this agreement, Alta will continue to provide construction support work through the end of the fiscal year 2023-24, to respond to your RFIs, requests for information, attend construction coordination meetings, and so forth. They're also helping us with the permitting process, the CVWD, and with the Union Pacific Railroad Crossing in Indio. So amendment number 12 includes a not-to-exceed amount of $287,500. That's the cost of services will be paid out of our existing funding for the project.
Any questions, comments? There's a motion. There's a second.
I'll second.
There's a second. Yeah. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Joey?
Aye.
Any abstentions? Any notes? Seeing none, motion. We'll move on now to item number F. This is the next step for addressing climate change emergency and sending points.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, members of the committee. This item relates to planning most end issues in the west part of the valley and a funding opportunity that we just came across and might be prime. We've helped mitigate some of those concerns. And it's two part. We are asking you to endorse our access. I just want to say this is about providing access. And after a friendly competition in the office, we came up with this thing, but we did get hustled by our word shark, this fellow chief here, but we're very happy with this thing. To give you a little bit of background, provide some context, this is the general area we're talking about, where we're experiencing blend ghost hand issues. We know that we have a sand transport area out of this part of the valley that is also home to some endangered and protected species. And this is a map that's really the flood plain zone and the regional materials that are impacted. When we combine these two factors together, this is what we see, and this is what occurs out in this part of the valley. That's from the very famous February 14th, Valentine's Day, a few years ago, and some of those kind of issues that impacts access to this regional arterial project. We've looked at potential solutions. One of the logical solutions is to build a bridge through and across, but we know that is cost prohibitive. So using a little bit of box thinking, value engineering, we have come with a potential solution that's drastically reduced in cost and also an additional emergency access road on the side that makes the project more feasible. We've obviously elevated this as a priority, not only here through our studies, but also to the governors. Our WBR West High School is here in December. This project was brought up as a priority. So given that, problem, a potential solution of mitigate some of these impacts is a local transportation climate adaptation program, which just recently got released. The local got released by the California Transportation Commission. This is partially federally funded, but federally funded by the bipartisan infrastructure law. And this cycle provides $296 million, with the maximum project request of $50 million. And there is a tribal set aside of 5% and a local funding match of 20%. And we're hoping that we can secure some money and get some return on the investment for future generations to come. And hopefully that will be our basis when we get this money. We've evaluated this as a priority, as we mentioned, it was studied, as you may recall. But not only have we prioritized this formally, it's also been prioritized by the community I just wanted to show you this snapshot of the Indian Canyon Facebook page. If you haven't joined or followed, I recommend you to do so. 14,000 members, so just shows you the extent of this issue and how important it is to the community. And you get updates. This is just today that we put this presentation together and had another one today. People asking if there's open or closed. So looking at this potential project, looking, this is what a potential solution can look like using prefab construction and culverts that allow for glow sand to naturally pass to prevent the habitat necessary for the traditional lizard, and as well allow for water to pass through and mitigate some of the enclosures. We are looking at other elements to incorporate potentially this project, like active transportation. You know, connecting THS to CB-Link is definitely a priority, as well as potential renewable energy opportunities along the path that provide not only shade, but also opportunities to generate renewable energy and provide a nice again habitat for our friend, our traditional lizard. We are in the environmental review. We identified this as a very important opportunity for this project. This next month in June, we are being implementing the bus community engagement with the city of Palm Springs and Desert Hot Springs. Those meetings are being set up as we speak. And then the grant proposal will be working on that during this month and next month. And the deadline is July 31st. With award announcements in November. So with that being said, we are asking the committee, and I apologize for a very long presentation, but there are a few components. We're asking for authorization for executive director to provide regional funds as a 20% funding match, as well as endorsement of the ACCESS acronym as a branded effort to address flooding and glow sand in this region. And we're also exploring opportunities in geometry as well. So just wanted to give you a heads up on that. So with that being said, that is our recommendation. And to answer any questions you have.
City of Palm Springs.
Thank you. I want to thank staff, and I want to thank the Transportation Committee. All of the work on reevaluating our approach began here in CVAT Transportation Committee after the St. Valentine's Day flooding that we had. And I think we have come up with a very, very good design, one that will alleviate a substantial problem for our area. And as we all know, this has regional impacts. Anyone who remembers the flooding that we had just this past winter knows that it took that afternoon when everything closed down. It was almost 2 hours to get from Palm Springs to La Quinta. That day. So the impact is real. There are only 7 ways to get into and out of Palm Springs. And 3 of those currently go through a dry, what is theoretically dry washes. We have federal funding for the bridge over Vista Chino that will begin construction in a couple of years. If we can get this funding for Indian Canyon, we resolve a substantial issue. And I'll finish with what I said to Mayor Villaraigosa. For those of us in Palm Springs, when it floods out, we're stuck in Palm Springs. There are a lot worse places to be stuck. But for the folks in Desert Hot Springs, they're stuck not being able to get to the hospital in time to respond. And that is where the crunch really happens. For anyone living north of the freeway, this is potentially life and death.
Make a motion.
Make a motion to approve, but I think.
So I do second it. Yeah. You want to add anything?
I think Councilmember Middleton said everything needed to be said, except for the fact I want to thank staff for sitting down with us the other day and going through what the next couple years are going to look like. It was defined and so we have funding. What the bigger picture is, not just Indian Canyon, it's geometry, it's and others that are prospering and getting those studies. Really thrilled with this project.
And if I could third it, I would, because it does affect more than just Desert Hot Springs, as you've already enumerated, because even Canego City having some options is gridlocked. And so we can't flow in, and everyone, of course, has to flow through us. So yes, very much.
And just
I just want to chime in. I've been on this committee now for 9 years. We've been discussing this for 9 years, probably 9 years before I joined the committee. I'm just thrilled that we're finally get moving forward and hopefully accomplishing something.
Well, good catch on the staff's part to find this grant opportunity. And if I could just suggest that there is a pretty powerful congressman that represents that area and has a lot of pull in Washington, D.C. So that might be a good opportunity to engage on and make sure that we can try to get this money. There is a motion, there's a second, there are comments. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Joey?
Yes.
Any no's or abstentions? Seeing none, we'll move on now to item number 7, which is information. That we'll move on to item number 8, public comments. If we believe we do have, we do have, right? We cue him up.
Yeah. We have a comment there, Tom Cohn. You should have audio.
Yes, my name is Thomas Cohn. I'm a resident of Palm Springs and a cyclist on many roads in the North Valley and West Valley. I'm also a member of the CVAG Trails Management Subcommittee, and I express the viewpoint of mountain biking in the hills that line the valley. I typically ride my bike for local errands and also twice a week on long rides of about 40 to 60 miles on the existing roads and streets, including Highway 111 North, Tipton Road, Gene Autry, Dillon Road, Varner Road, and other throughways that cross the Whitewater and other streams east into Palm Desert and La Quinta. I want to stress now that there are only 5 thoroughfares available to a cyclist going east and west: Dillon Road, Varner Road, Ramon, Dinah Shore, and Highway 111. Occasionally, I ride into Indio and Coachella, but not often. But I often ride into Palm Desert. I'd like to commend Alta for their work in planning CV Link. That planned linkage of the cities is necessary and a superb amenity for the valley. The truly unfortunate part of CV Link is that its construction is slow and piecemeal. CV Link could become a very important means of safe biking for casual cyclists. So far, those rides seem to be limited in distance to 5 miles in the West Valley and 10 miles in the Central Valley. Thus, so far, CV Link is not an attractive route for my rides. I want to encourage completion and very soon of the linkages in Palm Springs and Cathedral City. A colleague on the Trails Management Subcommittee, a former planner for the city of Palm Springs, often laughs at CV Link. He says often that he passes the deserted 2-mile stretch that ends at Visicino and Ramon, and that he, quote, never sees anyone using it, end quote. Of course, though, that is not true in actuality. That first segment is isolated and exposed, but the streets that are the terminals for that link, for that segment, are very high volume thoroughfares. So it's really dangerous to use these streets as an access. I want to address the cities directly of Cathedral City and Palm Springs to redouble their efforts to build adjacent segments so that a casual user can bicycle from the tramway through to the edge of Rancho Mirage. I also want to chide the cities of Rancho Mirage and Indian Wells in having maneuvered referenda that prevent building CV Link within their borders. I encourage CVAG and the sister cities to find legislative and judicial support of building the full 50-mile CV Link through Rancho Mirage and Indian Wells. I want to thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Any other?
He lost me.
All right.
I thought he was doing fine.
I'd have to agree, David.
And while we don't often comment on these items, he did ask to speak to the CV Link item on the agenda. It's our mistake or mine for not catching it to the end. I do want to note, I want to note, Mr. Cohn's audio was better than anybody's in the room. So at least that was working very well. And for those who are paying attention to the pace of CV Link construction, I think most of you here are. No, nobody wants to build it faster than me. A right of way issue, not a desirability or working with the cities, Palm Springs and Cathedral City and all of our cities have been great to work with. Accessing right of way and getting approvals, particularly under bridges with CVWD, are the biggest challenges with getting the project completed. But trust me, we will complete it.
Okay, very good. With that, we'll move on to item number 9. This is announcements. Next transportation meeting will be August 28th, and the executive committee meeting will be June 5th, and the next general assembly members assembly meeting will be June 26th. For that, we are
adjourned.